Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Late Night Anger Man's Rage Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. We're kicking it here on the Friday night freak show. A lot of stuff to get to for the bettors tonight. We'll talk NBA basketball. We'll take a look at Saturday's college basketball slate. Always a full slate of ball on a Saturday. We've got UFC on Saturday night from Las Vegas. And who was it? Rafael Alves. This guy, you know what? Congratulations, Rafael. Congratulations. You set a UFC record before you even stepped into the octagon. Unfortunately, it's not a record you want to be known for. Rafael Alves missed weight by a record. He missed weight by 11 and a half pounds. 11 and a half pounds isn't missing weight. That's like you're in another effing weight class, dumbass. You know what? But of course, he fell ill. Well, maybe you shouldn't have waited so long and tried to carry the weight. I'm telling you right now, we hear fighters bitch about this before, and it's not right, and people know the weigh-ins are tough for people, and we got to do them a different time. So they move the time, and what happens? It's the same crap. Like, you think like moving the day is going to like make some like a UFC fighter be different, some of these guys? You know what I don't understand, though, is I don't understand why, and I guarantee like they're insecure in the sense that I don't know if they think that they need the extra couple of pounds. At some point, bro, it's not just like, I weigh 6 pounds more than my opponent. It's like, am I a better fighter? All right? You know, like some of these dudes, they hang on, to get maximum weight. Yeah, that's all good, but, you know, that's the only way you can win is if, you know what, you have an 8 pound weight advantage on your opponent? Like, come on, man. We've said it before, we're going to say it again. You've got two things to do when you sign a UFC contract, if you're a UFC fighter. We can talk about, they don't get paid enough, and Dana this, and the world's not fair, and all this other crap. Yes, it's all fine. We can talk about all that. You have two requirements if you're a UFC fighter. Show up, make weight. Make weight, show up. That's all they ask. I'm dead serious. I've seen the contract. You don't even have to do any interviews. You can tell them, no, I don't want to do it. You know, they won't be happy, but you have two requirements. Make weight, show up for the fight. These guys can't even do that. The Late Night Anger Management Class has begun. Bring it.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You never go down to the track, put it all on a horse.
Why don't you put it in the bank?
The bank? This is found money. I want to parlay it. I want to make a big score.
Oh, you mean you want to lose it?
Channel 204, point blank range, homicide in the background. Of course, voiced by me. It's almost too much me, actually, with my voice singing and me yelling. But you know what? If we're going to play metal on the show, we might as well make it our own. Go to Bandcamp/homicide, bandcamp.com/homicide to purchase any of the songs that you like. Bandcamp's a great site because basically, you purchase it there and it immediately goes to whatever format you want it on, right? You don't know, I want it on my phone, I want it on this, or whatever platform or device, and all that other type of stuff that I know very, very little about, actually. All right, so it's the Friday Night Freak Show. You know, it's actually true. When we say the Friday Night Freak Show, you know, it used to be, you know, we get crazy calls and everyone's drunk and stuff like that. But now it's the modern era. And now it just means the Friday Night Freak Show normally means we've got a bunch of freaks and losers in our chat. We're off to a nice start here this evening. But the Friday Night Freak Show also means that we got great guests. Steve Merrill, Tony Finn. New York Daily News, Christian Winfield, who's he's on the West Coast right now. He travels, of course, with the Brooklyn Nets. They've had a hell of a trip so far. Let's bring in Steve Merrill. Lucky Steve. Lucky Steve Merrill. What's up, Lucky Steve? I guess Steve will join us momentarily. That's just... Here we go. Even flow. You know what, though? It's actually, this has happened a couple of times, and it's actually proven. It's Merrill. I believe it's Merrill. Because we don't have, you know, if you look at all of our guests through the week, and you know what, guys? Just for you people, I've actually put in like 2-3 hours today of extreme grief and stuff dealing with George Kurtz's phone line. Like, why is it that I'm the one that has to deal with George Kurtz's phone line? So this is what I've gone through today. So you know what? Like, you know, I think Cam at this point, is Cam all right or is he in the hospital yet? It's been quite the adventure so far today. So I'm sort of somewhat prepared for whatever's about to hit us. But yeah, even though I've been doing this 19 years, it still makes me want to punch people in the face and flip tables. Flip tables. All right. But you know what was cool? What was really cool was the Toronto Raptors comeback. I've been informed we have them now, but do we really here? Because I'm not in the mood for games here tonight. Is Steve Merrill? What's up, Steve? Are you there?
Yeah, I was there, right? We said Lucky Steve. I said, what's up, Lucky Gabe? And it went silent. So the powers that be didn't like my comeback, I think. That must be a trademark copyright somewhere.
I got to tell you, Steve, it's a problem. Like, good to talk to you, though. But... we don't have this drop issue. We have people that sound like crap. You sound good, but there's a drop issue. I'm telling you, because I remember I told you to bitch to your phone company. Well, who's your phone provider anyways, Merrill? Who is it in Virginia? Who is it? Verizon? Who has the monopoly in Virginia?
It was right as I started talking, it dropped. I mean, I heard you for like the full minute before, so it makes no sense. It's eerie timing, but I'm pretty sure it's the health department here at Lucky Steve's. When anything goes wrong, we blame the health department.
So, yeah, Merrill, Steve Merrill, kicking us. So, yeah, who is the provider, Steve? What's your company? Let's call them out.
Yeah, we have several of them here nowadays. But yeah, back in the day when I was growing up, it was a monopoly. It was a Bell Atlantic, I believe, back in like the 80s and 90s. And that's when you would pay a dollar a minute for long distance, even within the state. I mean, our younger viewers and listeners can't relate to that, Gabe. But I remember when I got my cell phone in the late 90s, if you left like, you know, the 1 hour local area in Northern Virginia, if I went to like where I live now, just 2 hours away, it was a dollar a minute on my cell phone to pay for roaming, and long distance was never included. I mean, the younger generation doesn't realize how easy it is to communicate worldwide now for free.
Yeah, I used to have one of those big old school Miami Vice cell phones, man. They were literally, it was five bucks a minute. It was $5 a minute. It never worked either. Once in a while it would work, but it was very, very unreliable. But it was good to hit people in the head with. it was a real weapon. I'll tell you that. And I knew I bought this used off of someone, and I knew when there was like a couple of bloodstains on the phone still. He told me, he goes, yeah. He goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, this thing will really save you in a pinch. I was like, thanks, buddy. So little bloodstains on it. It was like a missile, bro. It was a big, thick piece of plastic. You could kill someone. You could murder someone with that thing. All right, Steve. So I was just, we were talking off the top of the program. Crazy night in the NBA tonight. But so everyone's dropping 50 points. And I said that, whatever, man, scoring 50 points in the NBA is no big deal. It's like sleeping with a Kardashian. Everybody has done it. And it's almost like every night now, somebody's dropping 50, and, you know, you talked about like the old days compared to the new days. You know, it's like in football, 300 yards used to be a big deal. Now, even 400 yards is like, yeah, whatever. Stats are so different now, Steve. You know what I mean? It's just so different. And I said earlier, too, I'm not one of these people that discounts like modern athletes. It says, oh, everyone's better in the past, because that's not true. These guys are bigger, faster, stronger. There's not a lot of debate to that. But it's a hell of a lot. It was harder, because I'm not saying it's easy now to score 50 in an NBA game. It's not. You got to be great. But it was harder in the old days, Steve. Like, I was telling people, younger people tuning in, that, like, Michael Jordan would score 53 in a playoff game, but he was literally getting punched in the back of the head 16 times. He was literally getting thrown into the third row, and it wouldn't be a foul. Like, you know, guys, watch The Last Dance. You see, he goes into the paint, man, they punch him in the balls. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, boom, like a real punch. Like, dude, it was like demolition derby in the old days, Steve. So I'm not taking anything away from Jamal Murray, the drop 50 tonight, or Joel Embiid and these guys. But whatever, dude, you don't have Bill Laimbeer punching you in the face in the paint like you used to.
Right, and keep in mind, too, the total on a lot of those Bulls games was in the 180 range. Now these games are in the 230 range. So you're talking about an extra 50 points that are scored in the game. And if you do the math, you know, a 50-point game when you have 180 totals, like 28%. Now it's like 20% of the game. So that's a 30% difference, by the way, between those two. So it's a lot harder to score when the lower score in defensive battles. I've always thought, my dad told me one thing years ago, and I've always thought this is a great way to look at things. It changed how I compared all the all-time greats, is you have to compare people within the era. And like Babe Ruth is a perfect example. You know, he's fat out of shape more than anybody nowadays. No argument that he's not the athlete that these guys are nowadays, but he hit more home runs one season than some teams had total that year, the dead ball era. Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in a game like over half a century ago. That hasn't come close to happening again. And then on top of that, they changed the rules because of him, the lane violations, other things. So that's how you have to compare things. And Jim Brown comes to mind as well, the way he was a man among boys back when he was playing. Obviously, LeBron's a better athlete than those guys. And the competition is tougher now. But, yeah, you have to look at things within their era, including scoring, you know, records, anything like this.
You know what makes it almost more impressive, actually, is Kobe. When you think back, as you said, 100 points and no one's come close. Kobe dropped 81.
What, 81?
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore, Steve. Like, that's impressive. 50's one thing. It's like, yeah, you hit a bunch of threes. All right. 81 points. That's hard to do, Steve. And that was, you know, was it modern NBA? It was sort of in between. You know what I mean? It was still a little chippier back then. I'd like to look up, actually, and see the roster. Who was on the Toronto Raptors? Who got made up for that? Big win for the Raptors tonight. Crazy to say that.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
Coming at you all day.
Every day.
With more attitude than other lesser networks would deem appropriate. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Look, we're not saying all the other sports talk networks are backwards, but we're pretty sure they all have a favorite Hee-Haw episode.
Get on the grid.
Hee-Haw.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Welcome to the 117th dust-up between the snorting swine of Springfield A&M and the Springfield University Nittany Tide. Oh, doctor, break out the hickory switch.
The late night anger management class. This is Sports League. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Tony Finn will step up and in from Las Vegas. Christian Winfield, New York Daily News, Brooklyn Nets beat writer, will step up and in from Los Angeles as the Brooklyn Nets have been on the West Coast all week. And they play the Clippers on Sunday night. And the Clippers and the Utah Jazz, of course, went at it this evening. We'll get into that in a couple of moments' time. I'm looking forward to getting some NASCAR with Steve and some NBA basketball. So, so Steve, basketball hasn't changed. The sport has changed, you know, as far as the physicality is concerned, the speed, the tempo, but it's still the same game. Yet it's always tough to compare eras, isn't it? It just is. I find baseball, though, is kind of the one, right? You know, I'm not talking about Babe Ruth or like just old white guys and stuff, but like even going back to like, you know, Steve Carlton, Nolan Ryan, like, you know, Steve, when you were a kid, baseball and stuff, Steve Carlton, like 100-mile-an-hour fastball is 100-mile-an-hour fastball, Steve, you know what I mean? Like, nothing's changed. Like, J.R. Richard was a badass. He was a badass then. He'd be a badass now. I find baseball is the one sport that's changed the least.
Well, I think the one thing about baseball is it's never been about pure athleticism. I still think hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in all of sports. It's, you know, eye-hand coordination. And that's why the steroid argument always bothers me. And I think all those guys should be in the Hall of Fame still, because steroids didn't all of a sudden allow Barry Bonds to get great, you know, hand-eye coordination and hand speed. He already had it. He already had a Hall of Fame career before his hat size grew a couple inches, you know, from the steroids. What it did do was maybe allow him to play longer, recover faster, and probably, you know, some of those flyouts at the warning track became home runs. So I do think the home run records are tainted because of it, but I don't think his greatness as a baseball player or Roger Clemens or some of those other guys. But it's an interesting sport to bring up because, once again, as I said, you have to compare within the era, and baseball is a perfect example also because of the steroid era. You know, we have to look at the 1990s differently than we look at the 80s and the 2000s. It was an era like we've never seen. But everybody was doing it. So once again, I still think McGuire was a great player. Bonds, Clemens are great players. But you do have to kind of compare them within their era.
Yeah, I get it. But what's the difference, really, of everybody in the 80s was high on cocaine? They're all doing rails. They're all doing line. They're all doing coke, like in the dugout and stuff like that. Right? I mean, some players would slide, you know, head first because they said, I didn't want to damage the coke in my back pocket. Like, they're all coked up. You know, everybody's been on greenies and methamphetamines and stuff. I don't know, Steve. It almost seems like to me that, you know, it's almost your duty to take steroids to put yourself over the top. Like, you know, I'm just stating, you know, but like I said, baseball, we can't do it. Like, you can't, you know, you can't do it. It's interesting, though, because last night we got into the Pro Football Reference website, which is a great website, has a Hall of Fame index. Basically, and the gist of it was, Steve, that Tom Brady's not the greatest quarterback ever. Like, when you look at the whole body of work, it was Peyton Manning, but it took into account championships and stats, and it was just, but, you know, profile was very, very number orientated. But, you know, it was interesting. The list was pretty good as far as the top 10 was concerned. Like, each position, they sort of got, you mentioned Jim Brown. Jim Brown was top 10. He was the second running back, Jim Brown. Walter Payton was the number one. For the record, Jerry Rice, Steve, has the highest metric. Like, so it's basically everyone in the Hall of Fame or who's going to get into the Hall of Fame and stuff. And then their metric, because even Hall of Famers, some are better than others. And basically, Jerry Rice was graded the best football player ever to play, Steve.
Yeah, and he went to a 1AA college, an FCS school, not even a Division 1A player. In fact, Walter Payton also went to a 1AA school.
Crazy, huh?
Because the Heisman equivalent for the FCS level is the Walter Payton Award. So isn't that something? The greatest receiver and running backs ever both did not play Division 1A. That's a hell of a trivia question right there, by the way. I think also something you got to keep in mind with football here, again, the reason it's not a perfect system is obviously receivers have to have a good quarterback. I think Rice was fantastic, by the way. But he did have some good quarterbacks throwing to him on some really good teams. And then with running backs, you got to have a good offensive line. That's why Walter Payton was so great, because, as you know, before the mid-'80s when the Bears became great, he was not on good Chicago teams. So I agree with him. I would put Barry Sanders up there. In fact, I thought you were maybe going to say Barry Sanders number one because he was on some Lions teams also that were not that great offensively on the line that initially he can make things happen. Jim Brown, Walter Payton, and Barry Sanders are the three greatest I've ever seen. A lot more on film, obviously, with Brown because they just could take over even without the help of the offensive line.
You know what the best I've seen in you know what I was going to say? The best I've seen in person would be Bo Jackson. So I saw Bo Jackson play more than once. I lived in L.A. when the Raiders were there. So I saw Bo play like four times type thing. So I saw Bo Jackson. But I'm telling you, Steve, the closest thing I've ever seen is one of the craziest athletic, like, where I was there. And I've been to a lot of sporting events, like, you know, Super Bowls, college championships, you name it. You know what I mean? NBA Finals. Like, I've been to a lot of big sporting events with big-time athletes and stuff like that, but I swear to God, bro, Saquon Barkley, Steve. I saw Saquon Barkley is like Barry Sanders-like, except he's always hurt. You know what I mean? He gets hurt. He doesn't stay on the field. But from an athletic standpoint, bro, he's the closest thing to Barry Sanders. Like, he's a flip. He's a flipping freak of nature. Like, I'm just saying, Steve, he was playing the Eagles, man. Like, I can send you the clips of the game type thing. It's one of his famous moves. But basically, like, he made, like, six guys look stupid. Then it took another four guys to bring him down type thing. Like, he is so good. Like, that was how I was like, oh, my God. Like, it was one of those oh, my God moments. Like, you can't believe what you just saw. And I was like, man, I've seen a lot of great athletic moves in front of me and stuff. But, like, this kid is special. But he's hurt. So, you got to stay on the field, Steve, to prove it, right? That's sort of like Walter Payton, like you said. Barry Sanders was great, but Walter Payton sucked it up and got beat up forever and ended up getting a Super Bowl out of it.
Yeah, and Sanders, you know, the younger people probably don't remember, but Sanders kind of retired ahead of his time, kind of like Tiki Barber did. Obviously, Sanders is a much bigger player than Tiki, in my opinion, but both of them kind of walked away. Sanders was a quirky guy. You know, he's like a Ricky Williams, but different type of quirky. Kind of withdrawn, and he definitely had several years left him. And in fact, the Redskins' last Super Bowl title back in 92, they beat the Lions. They blew them out in the NFC Championship game at RFK that year. And Sanders, that was the closest he got. And you'll keep in mind, that was the Mike Utley season when the Lions really rallied around the offensive lineman being paralyzed. So Sanders was one game away from the Super Bowl and never could get closer and then kind of retired briefly after that. Something else I'll point out with Bo Jackson, great call, by the way, these two sport athletes. I mean, if you're talking about some of the greatest athletes ever, you have to start with Jim Thorpe 100 years ago. You know, another guy that was ahead of his time. And then Bo Jackson would be right up there. I mean, he could be an all-star in baseball and football. And then Deion Sanders. And how do you like that? That transitions into FCS football being back. I talked about Walter Payton and Jerry Rice. How do you like that segue? A Jackson State head coach, and they're playing this weekend, I believe.
Yeah, it's always an interesting debate. The best best two-way athletes. You know who was really good, actually? We're going back a long ways, though, Steve, was Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson, obviously, you know, baseball. Oh, look. But
what was
Jackie Robinson. Dude, he was a stud running back, UCLA.
Okay.
It's crazy. Look at the film. Jim Brown, yeah, lacrosse, yeah. But Robinson.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was getting confused for a moment. I was going to say lacrosse, but that was Jim Brown. I did not know Jackie Robinson did football, though.
Yeah. He was also, he played everything. See, you know who was really good, too, was Tony Gwynn. Tony Gwynn was a really good basketball player. Yeah.
I have heard that. Yeah.
No, he's good. Like, good. He
and
wasn't
that's surprising,
just like, on
Gabe,
the team.
Gwynn in his heyday was kind of chubby, you know, and not really athletic looking on the baseball field. But I have heard that before, which always surprised me. Just shows what great athletes these guys are, even when you don't realize it.
Yeah, exactly. It was like sort of like, he's chubby, but, you know, you can back, you know, that big ass and hips and stuff. You know what I mean? Like Charles Barkley, you know what I mean? You know, set up shop in the old days. But, yeah, these guys just, you know, great hand-eye coordination, right? Just awesome. Great hand-eye coordination. Steve, I was saying earlier tonight, the Toronto Raptors flying under the radar. And are they going to win the championship? Probably not, no. But it's amazing to me how people hype up everybody else and they refuse to acknowledge the Raptors at all. And the Raptors tonight, big win against Minnesota. They didn't have Kyle Lowry. They didn't have OG in the lineup. They played last night. They just beat the Bucks two games in a row. And they get back to 500. And, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot, but you get back to 15 to 15, Steve. Don't forget, the Raptors started the season 2-8, right? They had a hard time adjusting to the Tampa situation. 13-7 right now. I get it. Brooklyn looked like the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. Philadelphia are dangerous, but I got Toronto right there. I've got Toronto right there with everybody else in here, and their number, they're not being talked about with these other teams. People have just given up on the Raptors. I wouldn't, Steve. They're a play-on team, bro. 13-7, last 20 games straight up, and now 8-3 against the spread, last 11.
Yeah, and what do we always talk about? Like, you don't try to guess when they're going to turn things around. We talked about them and the Miami Heat a few weeks ago here on the show. You know, I love to say I'm not trying to catch a falling knife, but I also said I do think at some point, you know, Toronto and Miami both will turn things around. Denver also, we're starting to see that happen. You know, we know what they're capable of doing. These are teams that made runs in the playoffs last year. The Raptors won the title 2 years ago. And it does look like we've gotten that turning point with Toronto here. And there's obviously a lot of understandable reasons why they started slow. Like you said, they're playing in Tampa. They're not even in their home country the whole season, or at least the team's home country. All the players are from the U.S. But, you know, it's a weird situation, and it's definitely been affecting them early on. It looks like it's changing now.
Oh, it's actually, Steve. Raptors have Canadians, Africans. They're from all over the place.
Yeah, like, I knew you were going to say that. Right after I said it, I realized it.
Yeah, it's true.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
Eight technology grand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Don't think of us as just sports talk. Think of us as a full immersion crash course in sports news you can use. You listen. You learn. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey, Mo. Want to come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't count out the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hear that President Clinton is going to be watching with his wife, Hillary.
The Los Angeles Clippers beat the Utah Jazz 116-112. Wow. You know what? I like the Utah Jazz tonight just because, whatever, we're going to keep riding the hot team. Kawhi Leonard scores 29 points this evening. But there was so much going on tonight, and I had a bunch of games, and I was caught up, and whatever. I didn't get my bet in, all right? I didn't get my bet in before tip-off. And then, I got caught up in the Raptor game. I was watching the Raptor game and the T-Wolf game. And I had to play on the Raptors on the money line, and I'm a Raptor fan, so I was into it. And then I'm like, oh, man. I thought I did put the pick in, but I didn't. So I look, and I'm like, oh, they're down 16-7 or whatever the hell it was, Utah. And I'm like, all right, whatever, I'm in. I realized I didn't get the bet in. So I took Utah at the time, +3.5 in-game. It was early in the game. I got them +3.5. And Steve, final score, 116-112. They lose by 4. I'm not crying about a bad beat or anything like that. They they were down. It wasn't like they were down by one or anything with a couple of seconds left and I got screwed. But the Utah Jazz dominant ATS run comes to an end tonight, Steve.
For the time being, I think then they lose back-to-back games about a month ago or so, and they ran off like 8 or 9 in a row after that. You know, that everyone thought that's when things were turning. I'll ask you this, Gabe. We can look back on this episode in like 3 months. What will be the worst 10-game span that they have the rest of the regular season? 3-7, 2-8 against the spread. What do you think it'll be? Because you got to figure at some point it's coming.
ATS or straight up? ATS?
No, ATS. I don't think they'll lose. They won't lose 8 out of 10 straight up. But no, ATS.
Yeah, you know what? They could start to be overpriced, right? Moving forward a little bit. So, you know what? I'm going to say 3-7 will be their worst 10 game.
That's probably the safe option.
Yeah. I was going to say maybe 4-6.
I'd make the over under 3-7.
That'd be damn good.
Yeah.
4-6, that's hard, to do that. I'm looking now to see what
are they like on their run? 17-2 run. Yeah, okay.
19-1-1.
It's just, will they eventually get overpriced?
Who's up next for them? Because you're right. This is the big thing now. Do they bounce back? Do they lose again? I remember those two games, actually. I remember them because, I swear to God, I remember all this stuff. They got smoked, Steve. They got absolutely lit up in the first half by the Knicks. All right? On a Monday at the Garden. And it was one of those, first half disasters. It was bad. We were live on the air during it. And I don't know, man. They were down by, 28 at the half type thing. And I remember the next night, they were playing Brooklyn the next night. I said, there's no way. And I'm taking the Jazz in the first half. I said, there's no way in hell these guys are going to get smoked in the first half. That was embarrassing yesterday. So I was right. And then they won the first half and ended up losing the damn game. And then they went on that massive run. That, like you said, that was the last time, early January, New York and Brooklyn. So next up is Charlotte. They host Charlotte and they host the Lakers. So they should get back. So they're going to be laying quite a bit against Charlotte, though, Steve. That'll be the test, won't it? They'll probably be, about 8.5-point favorites or something, 9-point favorites.
They've only lost once in the last month since that span in early January. They lost back on January 31st at Denver. And then they came back 2 days later and beat Detroit by 12, but failed to cover as a 13-point favorite. So they've only lost once in the last 19 games, but they've lost twice against the spread, and that was back-to-back. So they actually lost ATS after their other ATS loss, but then they'd run off 8 straight until tonight, straight up and against the spread. So yeah, even if they don't necessarily show up against Charlotte, it might be too early. But here's what's interesting. They play the Lakers after that, and then they're at Miami. Coming into this week, and it might have been right before the Milwaukee game, I think it was, they were 3-3 on the season against better than 500 teams. That's how weak their schedule had been. Now, they did beat Milwaukee. They beat Philly. They beat Miami this week, and they beat the Clippers until tonight. They beat them,
Boston.
A couple nights ago.
The Boston.
Right, and Boston, who,
right.
Yeah, Florida technically, but I do consider them a winning team, though. So we have to be a little careful because, we talked about this the other week. Remember, I said the two Denver games have given them trouble. The only loss until tonight during the last month and a half was against Denver, who they blew that 3-1 lead against in the playoffs last year. So, and they, by the way, they beat them by only 4 and barely covered that a month earlier. So I think it's a little early to crown the Jazz, obviously the best team in the league, but they're obviously a very capable team. And we talk about another 50-point scorer, Donovan Mitchell, put up 50 regularly in the playoffs last year. That's that superstar you need to succeed in the postseason, in my opinion.
Steve Merrill kicking it with us. WagerTalk.com sports memo. Tony Finn will join us later as well. Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News will talk about the Brooklyn Nets week that they've had and the upcoming weekend as well. All right, I'll blast through the overnight NBA games here, Steve. We'll get a little NASCAR. But Golden State, that was a weird game tonight, man. They were down all night. I look up, they're winning by 10, and then they end up losing the game at Orlando this evening. So Golden State right now are 2-point favorites in Charlotte on Saturday night. The Miami Heat, who you talked about. So here's the high-profile Saturday night game, Steve. The Heat at the Lakers. The Heat coming off that win against Sacramento. And the Lakers coming off the loss against the Brooklyn Nets. Lakers, same price, Steve. It's interesting, isn't it? They were 3-point favorites against the Brooklyn Nets. They're 3-point favorites against the Miami Heat. But Brooklyn are a lot better than the Miami Heat. Total's 213. What do you make of this Laker-Heat game?
Yeah, and keep in mind, a couple games ago, they were a 3-point road favorite at Denver last Sunday on Valentine's Day and lost that game. They did bounce back in between the Denver and Brooklyn losses and beat the Minnesota T-Wolves as a 6-point road favorite. Obviously, nothing impressive about that. But the Lakers obviously kind of going through the motions. You know, AD's been hurt. This is a team that you really can't do much with until the postseason. The question becomes, is this the buy sign for the Miami Heat? Now, I talked about the Toronto Raptors before the break, and we talked about the Heat also. They vastly underperformed. Toronto is on that run now. Miami won four straight about a week ago. Then they lost three in a row at Utah, Clippers, Golden State. They got back on track against Sacramento. So they're now, five and three their last eight, but they're still just 9-18 against the spread on the season. They've been the biggest money burner in the NBA. Hard to trust really either one of those teams right now that we see something.
How much do you put into the NBA Finals revenge factor?
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever you're playing the defending world champs, even if you didn't lose to them in the finals, you're probably going to be a focused spot, and that's one of the reasons the Lakers are probably struggling in general. You know, they haven't been a very good point spread team either. So Miami might have this game circled. I guess, Gabe, is the question that Miami just hasn't been focused this year, or something just wrong, bigger picture than that?
I think it's injuries. Gordon Dragic, Tyler Hero, out of rhythm.
Right.
You know, the little things. You know what I mean? The little things that have just sort of added up. Bad losses late. You know what I mean? Bad luck is sort of the combination of everything. But, you know, Steve, I'm not one of these guys. Listen, you know, you're a multimillionaire. It's a regular season game. No one's, you know. I get it. It's not a finals game, but these guys, you know, you don't play for Pat Riley. You're not on an NBA champion team by not caring about winning, right? These guys are all competitors. And I'll tell you, like the Milwaukee Bucks, Steve, when they played the Raptors and they beat them all the time, they bring up the fact. They don't even hide it. They're like, yeah, you know what? They beat us in Eastern Conference Finals. It's bad memories. You know what I mean? And you know, the Heat need to get back on track, number one. They haven't been consistent. They've got to get into the playoff hunt. They've had a good trip. It's a good way to wrap this thing up by playing against the Lakers. It's a bigger game for the Heat, and I think the motivation factor is big time on the Heat side here, Steve. It's just a bigger game for them. Throw out that final stuff.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, I think if you had to guess which team might be more motivated for this game, I would agree it's going to be Miami. I think it just goes back to what we're talking about. You know, are they in a situation where they can do something about it? I totally agree with you with the injuries. You know, Dragic, these other guys, they were so deep and versatile in the playoff run last year. They've been the exact opposite so far in the regular season this year with the injuries.
Steve, let me ask you about the Blazers and I'll call them the Washington Bullets. Sorry if I offend anybody. The Washington Bullets. But I'll tell you what, you know, Washington have been good to me. They're good. They always trail early, Steve. You can get them at big numbers in game, Washington. They don't quit. The style that they play is a load to deal with just because they're so aggressive offensively. And look, dude, they've won three straight games outright. And against not bad teams, bro. They beat Boston 104-91. All right, they beat Houston 131-119. Denver Nuggets, good basketball team. 130-128, they beat them. Washington have shown flashes where they're very competitive, yet the Blazers are rolling. And even though I like betting on Washington, Steve, and I've been cashing with them, this overnight number seems a little short to me at -3.5. What's up with this?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this game up because this is the other one I wanted to talk about because the totals what catches my eye. The opening total is currently 242. If you remember last Friday night, we didn't have a total on that Brooklyn game. And you said, what do you think it'll be? I was like, it should be in the 40s. You're like, no way. And it ended up like 245. I was thinking it'd be what I saw that Saturday.
And it went over.
And it still went over, but, as you know. Yeah. This one jumps out to me. I mean, 242 is a big number, but these are two really bad defensive teams. This probably will be a good in-game bet. You know, I think, Gabe, either team gets down by 5 or 10, you hammer in on the in-game, and probably they don't necessarily come back to win it, but I bet you can get a middle or, you know, buy back at a better price and try to middle it at that point.
All right, Steve, time's flying by you here, but I want to get into the NASCAR, and I didn't know this, bro. It's kind of blew me away. And I'm reading Micah Roberts, and he said this is the first of 7 road course races this year. I nearly fell off my chair, Steve. 7 road courses this year. I don't know how. Like what? So they're adding. So we have the Daytona road course. They do the Charlotte road course. I guess are we going back to Sonoma with no fans? Is that what's, you know what I mean? So I don't even know, but it blew my mind. So 7 road courses this year, Steve. seven road courses. But let's get right to the chase when it comes to these road courses. And this is unbelievable. Between Chase Elliott and Martin Truex, they have won 8 of the last 9 road races, Steve. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. And I think they've got a couple races at Road America this year, which they've never done before. And then, of course, you know, the regular venues. And these Robles are the ones I like because they've done it at Charlotte 3 times. They've only done it at Daytona once, and that was last year. But keep in mind that the Busch Class last Tuesday before the Daytona 500, the old Bud Shootout, was actually on the same Roval course, half road course, half oval at Daytona. Only about 21 cars were in that one. Chase Elliott, who has won 5 of the last 8 road course races, whether it be the Roval or regular road course, was leading with 3 laps to go. His buddy Blaney passes him with 2 to go, and then they wreck each other at the final line, and Kyle Busch comes from like a second and a half out of nowhere to finish the thing. Yeah, great finish. But the thing is, Elliott was going to win again until Blaney passed him. Overall, the last 8 road courses, Robles and those, Elliott and Truex have won 78. Blaney's won the other one, so they're pretty tough.
All right, we'll get you a pick and odds on the other side. Chase Elliott, guys, +190. +190. Bring it.
Do this 24 hours a day, working hard to bring you the news you can use. Get on the grid. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Believe it or not, you can listen too much to us. Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night?
That's what she told us.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
A 3-minute warning, level 1. This is Sports Rage. We'll take it with Steve Merrill just for a couple more moments. So, Steve, as we went into the break on SiriusXM Channel 204 here, we were talking about the odds for this race. And it's, you know, man, you don't see a NASCAR favorite this low usually. +190, Chase Elliott. Absolutely no value at all, +190. Truex is +400. Blaney, +900. Denny Hamlin, +900. I wanted to ask you if there's a guy that you would think that you think that has a legitimate chance of winning this race at reasonable odds. My guy will be Denny Hamlin. He was runner-up last year on the road course, and I see that he got 35 laps in of test work on this course, and he was fast. He led 25 laps in the exhibition and on points test race that they had. Lot to like about Denny Hamlin at 9-1. What do you do with this? I mean, what are you going to do with Chase Elliott at +190? Truex +400. Who would you bet on if not Chase Elliott?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, first of all, Elliott's won 5 of the last 8 road events, so he should be minus money if that's really the true odds. So there could actually be value at 2-1, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
but I know what you're saying. It's hard for me to back him, too. It's almost too obvious. Truex has won 2 of those other races. He's at 4-1. Hamlin, I like, Gabe. That's probably where I would go in that top 5 or 10 list. Hamlin at 9-1 is very dangerous. He's good everywhere. AJ Allmendinger, who didn't even run last week, is the 6th favorite at FanDuel at 12-1. Be very careful. I know he won at Watkins Glen years ago. He's a road expert. He's in an Xfinity Series car, basically, that they're bringing in this week. That team, I don't think he's going to have the horsepower to compete like he normally would. That looks like maybe a little bit of a sucker play there. Hey, look, Michael McDowell, 80-1 at FanDuel. He last week, of course, was 66-1 when he won. He starts 2nd this week because of the way they're doing it based on last week's results. And he's actually pretty good on road courses. He might be in the running again. Wouldn't that be something?
And you know what? Pole position actually matters on road courses a hell of a lot more than it does in other races. Steve Merrill, always a pleasure, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Bring it.
They run. Crucify. Let it be done.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.